Your question.
So I was just thinking that since you have been at Radha Damodar temple also past Krishna Balram, and now that you have come to Radhakund, so everything is divine actually, but there the proximity of Yamuna ji is there in Vrindavan, and here Govardhan and Radhakund. You see, so how means what are your experiences at
Well, experiences are many, many experiences. But you might want, I think what you want to say is, because experience, you mean impressions or realizations. When we came to, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and Radharani, we came to Vrindavan in September 87. And we first stayed in the ISKCON temple in Ramanriti. Yes, and we lived there from 87 to 89. So I was 2 years in Ramanriti in the institution there serving. Then they asked me, temple president asked me to do seva in Prabhupada's rooms in Seva Kunj. And one thing I realized, the difference between living in the institution in Ramanriti and living in a medieval temple of the Goswamis, it's like vast universes of difference. And outside, when you live in a village, let's say it was kind of a village then, 1987, 30 years ago. But first of all, the Yamuna, the Asli Yamuna was flowing.
Yes.
From 87, 88, 89, it was like 93 or 94, they made a dam in Haryana. And no more Yamuna coming.
No more Yamuna.
So, the
Hatrikund they are calling it.
Something, I don't
300 kilometers.
Yeah, you know. So, the whole, you can really, when you live in the Vrindavan, in the Ramanriti so much, but there where the Goswamis did their bhajan, Nidiban, Sevakunj, this is Sevakunj. The whole area, the post office, for that area of Vrindavan, municipal Vrindavan, is called Seva Kunj. Prabhupada's letterhead, when he was writing letters, it said, office, office, Chippewada, Old Delhi. And then it said, residence, Radhadamodar Mandir, Seva Kunj. So he was living in Seva Kunj. So when I was living there, very, very sublime, a presence of the great saints, all the greatest saints collected there. Five of the six Goswamis, they were in Vrindavan. Raghunath Bhatta, and Jiva, Rupa, Sanatan, and Gopal Bhatta. And then only Raghunath was out here. So there were five there, especially Radhadamodar. That was where they regularly met. So you can actually, when you live there, I stayed there 3 years, living in that room, in the kitchen. And you really can feel the presence of these great saints. Because it's said that these saints are living in their kutis, bhajan kutis, and are living in their samadhis. How that is so, we can't materially calculate or measure or scientifically prove. But it is the experience of many senior sadhus over the last 200 years. Sometimes they've had darshan of Sanatana Goswami wandering by Madan Mohan Temple or Rupa Goswami by Govindaji, or they've seen them. And even it's a known fact that when you sit in front of the samadhis of these great saints and do bhajan, there's some connection established between you and that saint. So the original samadhis and bhajan kutirs are there. Here they made some replica or whatever. Sanatana Goswami has a sitting place here in Shamakund. And Madan Mohan Temple. But he would come maybe occasionally. But there in Madan Mohan, he was all day after day after day there. So in Vrindavan, you really feel the presence of Purushottam.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more the presence of Purushottam, mm-hmm. and in his various forms, mm-hmm. And even the consciousness is like that.
Mm-hmm.
The people will say, when I first came, they would occasionally say, Radhe, Radhe.
Mm-hmm.
Not much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not at all. But more often than not, they would say the name of their deity. Jai Damodar, Jai Radharaman, Jai Gokulanand, Jai Gopinath, Jai Bunki Bihari. But no Radha. So the angle of vision was always on Purushottam, Damodar Mandir. We say Damodar Mandir, Govindaji Mandir, Gopinath Mandir, Radharaman Mandir, Gokulananda Mandir, Bunki Bihari Mandir. But you know, there's no Krishna doesn't go anywhere without Shakti Radha. But somehow no one ever says I'm going to Radha Govinda Mandir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Radha Damodar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in ISKCON. Mm-hmm. But outside of ISKCON everyone says I'm going to Damodar.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? I'm Damodar Mandir.
Mm-hmm.
So very much you feel that I was feeling that, mm-hmm. and seeing everywhere I'm seeing Krishna, and he's so much prominent there.
Mm-hmm.
In his murti forms,
mm-hmm.
and Krishna seems very tangible there.
Okay.
Krishna, the person, seems very tangible there.
Mm-hmm.
The personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I was everywhere. You would go up, walking down the lanes at nighttime in the summer,
mm-hmm.
going to visit major temples,
mm-hmm.
and walking down small gullies and lanes.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, there was very little traffic. And not much economy development, so very few motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very different Vrindavan.
Oh, very different.
30 years ago, we're talking about.
30
exactly 30 years ago. It's a lot. A lot has happened to India in 30 years, as you well have seen with your own eyes. So I don't know the greater India changes, but I know Vrindavan. 30 years.
30 years.
I have my direct experience. So then, of course, we were bathing in Yamuna every day. It was so sublime and so beautiful. My impression when I was in Vrindavan, I oftentimes imagined I was hearing Krishna's flute, or maybe someone was playing the flute, or maybe it was a sound system in the distance, some distant village across Yamuna from Matgaon, or Belvan, or some village over there, Bandiravan, someone playing music, flute, coming across the Yamuna late at night. Very much, when people live in Vrindavan, in those days, the mood of the devotees living in Vrindavan is, Krishna is right around the corner. Because the old little narrow streets around Sevakunj, they have names. So when you live there, you get to know the names. Because you meet friends on different streets.
Mm-hmm.
So one friend, he lived on Mangali.
Mangali. Mm-hmm.
So I said, how do I get there? Mm-hmm. Oh, you come along the road by Sevakunj,
mm-hmm.
then you turn right on Premgali.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go Premgali, comes to a T,
mm-hmm.
then you turn left on Dangali.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go Dangali towards the Yamuna, then there's a small street to your right,
mm-hmm.
and that's called Mangali. So these are the directions. Gully means chota street, small street. So he said, you go right off the main street onto Don Gully, then Mon Gully, then finally bring. So then I didn't know any of the names of the streets, so I walked, and he told me roughly where it was. So I walked along, and I asked him, and I said, what's the name of the street? And the man said, it's Prem Gully. So I came to end, and I said, what's the name of this street? This is Don Gully. Oh, turn left.
Mm-hmm.
So then I... So just going to find a friend in Vrindavan was like entering the Leela of Radha and Krishna,
mm-hmm.
as a Sakhi or Mandri, or
mm-hmm.
running down the small footpaths in Vrindavan trying to find Swamini Radha, or
mm-hmm.
trying to find where the Traisting Kunj is,
mm-hmm.
or the Kedlini Kunj. Where is the Sanket Kunj for there? Nocturnal rendezvous,
mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you turn the corner, you see Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful mandirs and all the full bungalows in the summer and the,
mm-hmm.
and the misty sprays and the fountains and flowers and beautiful outfits and perfumes. And it was a very, very beautiful experience. I really felt like I was living in Krishna's house. And Seva Kunj was like one room in Krishna's house. Imagine living in a big mansion, some estate with a big, rich man. And there's a river in this estate, and there's so many little small streets inside the boundary wall, like Rameshwaram or something, like a king's place. And then you have your room, and you're moving from place to place, and you always be remembering the king. So I remember coming out of Radhadamodar, wherever we went, we were seeing Krishna. And it was very much, I felt the experience of Sambhog. Sambhog Milan, like directly meeting Krishna. All the time in his murti form. And all the time in the anticipation of seeing this murti or that festival. Many, many festivals there. So the lives of the people in the downtown Vrindavan, and now people in Ramanreti, they know about that also. But everyone knows, oh, do you know tonight is a special darshan here, tonight is a special darshan there. And just by word of mouth, because there's no internet in those days, and all these cell phones and whatnot, social media. So people just spread the word. You'd be at the moment, oh, tonight is, you know, Shamsaki darshan for Gokulananda. Well, what is that? Oh, Shamsundar, he dresses up as a gopi, and Radharani's in Man, and she's up on the top. So everyone is, all the temples are always having newer and newer festivals. So all the devotees, and these festivals are all about leelas. They're all depicting different leelas of Radha and Krishna through the medium of the murtis. So the devotees that are living there, they're living, it's like you're living in the family of a rich man, and someone says, oh, you know, the king is having a lawn party tonight, tomorrow morning. Oh, okay. Oh, the king is going boating. He's going boating and he's inviting everyone to come to the boat festival. Oh, okay. What time? Okay. What do we wear? Oh, wear this shorts and t-shirt. Okay. So then you go to the dock and you get on the boat with the king. So all these festivals, Krishna's reaching out to the devotees and saying, come into my leelas. Come into these festivals. See them, smell them, hear them, feel them, partake in them. So it's very much, for those 15 years, I spent 15 years in that part of Vrindavan. You know, Ramanreti side and Sevakunj 3 years or so, 3-5, and other places. And it's incomparable feeling of being personally with Krishna and personally involved in all his different, his festive life. Which was being shown through the Thakurjis of the different temples who are directly Krishna. So you really feel like you're in Krishna's Leela.
Gotcha.
But there's a predominance, what I felt myself, what I felt and perceived is that the emphasis was on the Purushottam, on the Thakur. But my heart was, because of Gaudiya and my heart was too much wanting more of the influence of Radha.
Oh.
I wanted to find more of the presence of Radha. Because when I go to Radharaman, I see a murti of Krishna, but not of Radha. There's just some symbolic representation. There's some singhasan. There's some chilki, some tiara, some dumra, or some dopata, and some necklace, some small things there representing Radharani. Or Bunky Bihari, there's some type of representation. So while I was living in Vrindavan, I was repeatedly coming to Govardhan for Giriraj Prakam all the time. And so I was coming to Radhakund. And I don't know how I was, because we have our will, but it's not much powerful. And Krishna's will is supreme and everywhere. And practically only Krishna's will is what's going on. Because I I was there for 15 years until 2002, and I moved to Radhakund permanently. But initially, before I ever came to, you know, when I came to India in 87, we came with the idea that we would stay in Radhakund. But we didn't know how that would actually unfold. Because prior to that, 1977 was our first visit to Vrindavan, and many times afterwards. So in 77, when I came, we visited here, and everyone took snan, all the devotees. And I was taken by the place. I was very captivated, especially by Radhakund. So at that time, I've told this story many times, but I made a prayer to Radharani. Only to Radharani, because I thought this is Radhakund. It's not different from Radharani. I can't see Radharani, but I can see the Radhakund. So I prayed, I said, Radharani, please somehow, someday I would like to live here and do bhajan. That was 77. Well, many things went on before that was fulfilled. And so then it was 25 years later. And that's a lot of experience, a lot of travels, a lot of situations passed between the time of my prayer and the time of fulfillment. So even when I came to India, I was, I could have come straight here. But somehow it wasn't the time. Although that was my wish. So I lived there, and then books came out and this and that. And anyway, somehow I ended up, I moved here. Radharani let me come. So then when I got here, it just, here, everything, it's like there, I would say it's like communicating vessels. Communicating vessels. There in Vrindavan, Krishna is very high. And Radharani is not so much volume. Krishna's like, you know, 2 liters of water, and then there's like 50 milliliters. And when you come to Radhakund, Radharani's like 100 milliliters of up, and Krishna's only like 10. So I immediately I can understand. And that's what I, when I decided, somehow I decided, or I was allowed to decide, I was there and I thought, oh, I'm missing Radhakund too much. I'm missing Radharani. I feel I want to go there. I want to be with that Radharani energy, that Shakti. As I said, this is like Purushottam Dham in Vrindavan. It's more the presence of Purusha. And here I find it's more the presence of Yugal. Because Giridhari is Krishna and Radharani is Radharani. So it's very much Yugal here. And being, you know, in the Gopi Bhav, Manjri Bhav, Gaudiya Sampradaya, then I had read and understood by my own feelings that this is the place for Manjri Bhav, Radhakund. It's just everywhere here. And Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, his writings are the main guidebooks for Gopi Bhav Bhajan. Especially his books, because it's all pure Gopi Bhav Manjri Bhajan. So he's saying prayers like, and he said, oh, Radhakund, as soon as I saw you, and he writes one prayer, he says, Sapadikila Pushpa Radhadasyam, something like that, Radhadasya Prashasya. Sapadikila, Pushpa Seva Radha Prashasya, something like this. He says that just by seeing Radhakund, the flowers, Pushpa, the flower of the desire to serve Radharani appears in the heart. And none of the Goswamis wrote anything like this about any other Leela Stali in Vrindavan. And they lived so long in Sevakunja and Nidibana and all these places, and they wrote so much. But no one has written such an extraordinary glorification of Radhakund. Of course, Rupa Goswami, he writes in Upadeshamrita that this is the topmost place of bhajan, Radhakund. He says, higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura because Krishna is born there. Higher Mathura is Vrindavan because of Krishna's rasa dance. Higher than Vrindavan is Govardhan. And the highest place in all of Brajmandal is Radhakund. So, when another verse he writes in Vilakusamanjali Das Goswami Pad, he says, here only atreva samvasa ihaiva samstati. Atreva ihaiva. Ihaiva atreva. Basically means, here only I will live, atreva samvas, and ihaiva samstiti. And here only I will stay. So basically repetition. Here only I will live, and here only I will stay. It's like repetition for emphasis. So this is a strong sankalpa. And this type of nishtha is required. I asked my Gurudev, my Pandit Baba, Pandit Sri Krishna's Babaji Maharaj, I said, what is it we see in many exalted glories given about Brajavas, that one who simply lives in Vrindavan says apasparsha vav upajai matura mandala apasparsha bhava upajai, with just a little touch. Alpa sparsh, same as Hindi. Alpa sparsh of Brajmandal. With just a slight touch of this Mathura Mandal Brajadam, then bhava will manifest. Upajai. Bhava will manifest. Bhava will appear. So I said, it's a slight touch, but I've been touching for 30 years, and I don't have any bhava. I don't have any prema. So what is my problem? Or why doesn't it? We see so many devotees living here with no bhav. This is very rare bhav. He said two things are required. One must be dam nishta, dam vas nishta, and he must be nirapradi. Nirapradi. Free from all aparads. And that's a big one. And then dam nishta. Not like, oh, it's too cold, I leave. It's too hot, I leave. I'm sick, I leave. I have a toothache, I leave. I have a backache, I leave. No, nishta. So then I said, okay, he said, so because this is the example we see in Das Goswami and all the Goswamis. Once they came here, you know, they never left. Rupa Goswami, you know, Das Goswami lived a fairly long life. He did about 55 years bhajan here. And Raghna and Krishna's Kaviraj about 65 years. He lived a long time. Many others, long time. So they themselves set the example of bhajan. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Sri Jiva Gopalako Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabi Kalava Sanikrito. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur tells in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Rag Bhakti chapter, in verse part 1, chapter 2, verse 295, commentary, he says that, says Braja, says in Sanskrit, Rupa Goswami says, Braja Pura Stiti, or he says something how one should live in Braj. And then Jiva Goswami says, if you can't live there mentally, then you should live there physically. I mean, if you can't live there physically, you should live there mentally. And both, of course. And then the next verse, I think maybe that's 294. And then 295 says, Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrihi. We should serve Radha and Krishna in our Sadak Rup. And our, it says, Chatrihi, Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrihi. Chatrihi means simultaneously, mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. You should do service externally as a sadhaka and internally in your siddha sarup. Mm-hmm. This is what means Raghunuga Bhajan. Mm-hmm. It's not you do this for a while and then you do that. No, Raghunuga Bhajan has two parts, mm-hmm. external in sadhaka rup and internal in siddha rup, mm-hmm. the Manasi Seva. So now that very important shloka, and all these are very important shlokas, about Raghunuga Bhakti, there's only 40 shlokas. Chapter 1, 2, 270 to 309. 40 shlokas out of 300 shlokas, 309 shlokas describing sadhana bhakti. Only 40 describe Raghunuga. So, and that's actually the whole sum and substance of Gaudiya Sampradaya's Rag Bhakti, it's supposed to be. So there's sometimes it's a little, Rupa Goswami was assuming people know more than they know, because he just said that, oh, everyone knows what this means. But it's been, even today people are confused, what does this mean? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, to make it very clear, because Jiva Goswami didn't mention the point, so from Jiva Goswami's time, with his tika on Upadeshamrita, I mean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Vishnu's time, that was about 100 years, 100, 150 years went by. So in that course of time, so many deviations and speculations had arisen. So when Vishnu wrote his commentaries, he made sure to address those, to address those deviations and to set everything straight, because he was so recognized as such a great acharya. Like one deviation, for example, that came up by a famous personality from Sorma Valley, Sorma Valley, which I think is part of Assam. He was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. His name was Rup Kaviraj. Rup Kaviraj. I guess he was a poet or something. But he was a guru, and he had some sect of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So he gave his own interpretation to this, because Rupa Goswami did not elaborate. That's the problem. And Jiva Goswami didn't say either. So he said, following the Brijvasis means that we follow the Brijvasis. The Brijvasis don't observe Ekadasi, they don't wear Tulsi beads, they don't chant Japa, they just love Krishna. So he was preaching like this. So he had a whole group of people that were saying, yeah, we're like Brijvasis. So Vishwanath came and said, this is not correct. So we have to follow the six Goswamis in our sadhaka rup. What did they do? So what did they do? They lived in Braj without leaving. So that's called Brajnishtha, Brajvasnishtha. And needless to say, they live without making any offenses. Dira dira jana priyo priyakuro nirmatsarano. It says Krishna. That's the interesting thing about the Goswamis. They had a heart and a brain. Some people, they come in the line of bhakti, they have a big brain, but they have no heart. And some people have a heart, but they don't have any intelligence to deeply understand. So best is both. So in this Satgoda Swami Astakam, if you minutely study it, you see very clearly how it represents the different aspects of their sadhana bhajan and their dynamic personalities as exemplary sadhakas, what to speak of being nitya siddha parishads of the Lord. Because all the six Goswamis are six mandris. They're Kaya Vyuha of Radharani's Antaranga Shakti, her own Swarup Shakti. So there, one Srinivasacharya glorifies their heart by saying, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Pro Prema Amritabhavandhati. They would, they were just jumping and dancing in abandon in Sankirtan. Their arms raised above their heads. Nitaigor, Harivo, Hare Krishna, Hari Haraya Nama, Krishna Yaravaya Nama. Utkirtan, Krishnot Utkirtan, loudly Utkirtan, Gana Nartana Paro, they were dancing. They were not dry armchair philosophers, just sitting around, arguing fine points of philosophy or Vedanta Sutra. They were Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro. But then it says, Then it describes their qualities. Krishna kirtan nartana pro primamritam dira dira janapriya priyakaro nirmatsarana satam. Says they liked everyone. So this verse, because I explained there's two criterion to get success in Braj Bhajan. Mm-hmm. And one is nirapradi, mm-hmm. and one is this nishta. So I've illustrated dam nishta. Mm-hmm. Now I'm illustrating nirapradi, mm-hmm. by the lives and examples of the six Goswamis, because those are our exemplars, mm-hmm. perfect acharyas. Yadyara charati shrestas tatat avitarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tananavartante. Krishna tells in Gita that the acharya shrestha, the Shrestha Acharya, he's the best of men by his achar, and his sound vibration and his physical vibration. His physical vibration is his achar, and his sound vibration is prachar. Prachar and achar. And then if he eats too much prasadam, then it's dakar. Dakar. So there's achar, prachar, and dakar. But because his achar is good, then vachavegam, manasakrotavegam, jivavedam, ravastavegam. So no problem with dakar, not eating too much. I'm not finished. Wait a second. So this nirapradi. So how is it they're nirapradi? This verse, Srinivas is observing this. Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priyakaro, nirmat, svano, sato. Says they were priya, they were dear, they were the beloved, the dira and the adira, the sujana, the surga, the bhu suragani, the brahmins and the saints and the sadhus and the brijvasis, those are the dira. Then the adira is the dacoit, gunda, badmash, all the dira and adira jana, dira adira jana, they all were the friends of the Goswamis. They saw equally samadristi, because they were nirmatsarya. They had no envy. So if we come to the Dhamma, when we live in the holy Dhamma, if we have envy, if we still have envy of Indians or envy of anything, other people, or that will come out in our behavior or our speech and will make aparad. And we make aparad, we're offending Vaishnavas. And in the Dham, the Vaishnavas come in many, many forms. They come in human forms, in beastly forms, in bird forms, tree forms, pig forms. There's one dog that stays outside the gate of one temple with a few other dogs. There's maybe a small dog, maybe a puppy, newly, not very old dog. But he has some kind of cerebral palsy or some kind of debilitating, a very degenerative nervous disease. So he's just lying on the ground. He's alive. The jiva is still in that body. The jiva is still bound in that body of the dog. He's just lying near the gate, and he's trembling, and he's very skinny. And it's just, I mean, anybody, and everyone's days are numbered. No one knows when they'll go. But it's obvious to see that jiva is really suffering. He's in the dog's body, and he can't walk. His legs are broken. He's just slowly, what they say, dying a slow death, and very painful. Any kind of death is painful, but every day is so. And I saw there's one lady that stays in that temple, one elderly Bengali lady, and she was feeding the dogs, and I didn't see that one. It was over on the side. And I saw that one. I said, "Oh, what's happened? Oh, this devotee." And she's speaking like they're her brothers. She says, "Oh, this Bhakt." She's speaking in Bengali. So this brother, this devotee, he's leaving his body. He's so much suffering, but we have to take care of him. You know, he's our brother. You know, he's our very loving way she was saying it. And she has so much empathy. As naturally we feel empathy for suffering of others. It says that a cultured man, he feels the sufferings of others to be his own.
There's love and compassion also. Compassion.
Yeah, that's the quality of the human being. Because that's the greatest quality of Bhagavan, Bhaktivatsalya. Bhaktivatsalya, of course, is slightly different, but that means affection for the devotees, but the compassion of the Lord is inconceivable.
And about this Goshala, which is there, our German lady, and I've heard that...